On May 6th, we're doing Hashkafa. We're taking up the mitzvah, very significant mitzvah, Ha'amona b'metzias Hashem, which is emuna, that a person has to have emuna, which is a very significant term. What exactly does emuna mean in the existence of God? Now, the simple translation of emuna is belief. One has to have belief, or one has to have faith, so on and so forth. But that's a general description. We need to get it a little bit more specific. What exactly does that mean? This has different connotations to people. Does it just mean that you have to have faith? On the basis of what? What's the source? What's the root of the faith? So let's take a look at the chinuch. Mitzvahs ha'amana b'mtzias Hashem l'ha'amin sheyesh la'olam eloka echad. To believe that the world there is, that the world has one God. That there is one God in the world. Shehimtzi, this is another factor. There's another element, because a crucial, first of all, there's the issue of the belief in this being, that such a being exists. But additionally, the question, just as crucial a question, what is the relationship between this being and the world? Because you could say the world exists, okay, and God exists. But did God create the world? So he says, Shehimtzi kalanimtza. Our belief in God is that He is the creator. That is, He brought into existence everything that exists. Umikocho, even having established that the world could not exist without God, that God is the cause, there are still further questions to ask. And that is that something which has to be inevitably? That it's something that, quote-unquote, God would have no control over? Or no, it's a result of the power of God, the will of God, the decision of God, so to speak. Of course, when we speak about God, we are using all these terms descriptively. So he says, "Umikocho v'cheftzo," from his power and from his desire. Hoya kol ma shehu, everything came into being. V'shehoya v'sheyia la'adayad, and that he has existed and will exist eternally. Which means to say, it's not just the question that God exists longer than us. The whole nature of God's existence is different. That is to say that it's God's nature to exist. That God exists by definition. It has no beginning and has no end. V'chihu hotzionu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now this is very, very interesting, because he includes in this that God took us out of Egypt. V'nasan lanu es ha'Torah, and gave us the Torah. Now, I would imagine that these are separate objects of belief, separate mitzvos. I would imagine that this particular mitzvah has to do with the existence of God and the fact that God is the creator of everything that exists. But that God gave us the Torah, or that God took us out of Egypt, that would seem to be, at first glance, something separate, yet the chinuch is bringing it together, which is very, very interesting. Shenemar b'tchilas nesinas ha-Torah, because it says at the beginning of the nesinas ha-Torah, that is, at the beginning of the Aseres ha-Dibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoseisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Uperusho, the explanation is, Ki'ilu Amar, as if to say, Teidu, know, v'taminu, and believe, Sheyesh La'olam Eloka. That's Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that the world has a God. Kimilas Anochi, Torah Al Hamatzias. Because the word Anochi indicates existence. I am, Anochi, I am, my existence. It confirms or affirms existence. Vasher Amar, Asher Hotzeisicha, etc. And the statement, who took you out, Lomar, is to say, Shlo Yifta Levavchem, that you should not allow yourself to be deceived. Lakachas inyan seischem me'avdus Mitzrayim umakos ha'mitzrim derech mikra. That you should not allow yourselves to be deceived to attribute the exodus from Egypt and from the and the plagues that afflicted the Egyptians, you shouldn't attribute it to chance. Ela de'u, but no, she'anochi she'otzeisi eschem, that I took you out, v'chefetz u'v'hashgacha, with intention and with providence. K'mo she'evtiach la'avoseinu, Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, as he promised our fathers, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. That is, the way I understood the Ramban is that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tosicha, the second part of the pasuk, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the commandment for us to believe. I'll just use the word believe in a generic sense. It really means convinced. It really means conviction. That this should be something which is a conviction for us. It's a reality for us concerning the existence of God. However, it's not enough to merely say God, because what's a person's concept of God? The concept that we have of God, even though we can't know God in the sense of grasping the quote-unquote nature of God, but we do have a certain sense of what we mean by God. What is God? So our concept of God is qualified by the rest of it, of the pasuk, who took you out of the land of Egypt, which is indicating, from there you can derive many things. The fact that God is the creator of all that exists, the creator of the universe. And these fundamental principles, according to the Ramban, the basic principles that God is the ruler over the universe, that there's nothing else besides him, that he brought it into existence, and he retains absolute control over everything that happens. He knows everything. He's the master of the forces of nature and bends them to his will. All this you have experienced in Egypt. And that is indeed the purpose of all of the interventions in Egypt, to establish these principles. Because, as Dr. Ramban says, there were different philosophies pertaining to the relationship between God and the universe, whether the universe has some type of an independent character outside of God, or is God the master of the universe, so on and so forth. The display of the miracles that took place in Egypt were intended to negate these false ideas and to establish these truths. That's the idea. Well, it would seem then that I can understand the point of the chinuch, because if a person does not believe that, if he does not believe that God took us out of Egypt, if he doesn't believe these miracles, then his emunah and Hashem would be lacking. Well, it's possible that he would have a belief in God, but it would be lacking. So that's why he's saying that a person has to believe this, that the God took us out of Egypt, and that our exodus from Egypt was not a result of chance. Because that's the foundation of foundations. In terms of the phenomena, what is the phenomena that we base ourselves on? So it has to be based upon that. A person is lacking in his emunah because he might believe in God, but he wouldn't have any basis, he wouldn't know the relationship between God and the universe. That God brought the universe into existence out of nothing, and that God established the laws of nature, and that God is the master over them. And miracles establish that point and refute the contrary claims that the universe, there may be a God, but the universe is inevitable. That's the alternative position, that the universe is the way it is because it has to be that way. And it denies, that position denies miracles. It even goes further in denying, there are those who deny that God even knows what's going on in the world, or that God relates to anything in the world, so on and so forth. Those who remove God from the realm of human existence. Okay. We're going to continue now in the Chinuch. Again, we're doing Mitzvah Chafei, Mitzvat Ha'amona B'Metzias Hashem. Shorish Mitzvazu Ein Tzarech Be'er. The root, or the objective, the point of this mitzvah doesn't really require an explanation, which is a very apt statement. That is, it's pretty obvious. There are many, many mitzvahs, and many of the mitzvahs we don't know. Some of them we automatically understand the reason. Thou shalt not steal, etc. It's not difficult to figure out what the reason is. But then thou shalt not murder. But there are mitzvahs where it's not that clear what the purpose of the mitzvah. Here is one of those cases where it seems pretty self-evident, pretty obvious. The whole system of Judaism depends upon perfecting an individual. In terms of keeping the Torah, perfecting himself on every level, the first and foremost, he has to be cognizant of the existence of God. But anyways, let's continue with what he says. As I said, Ein Tzarech Be'er, it doesn't really require explanation, is very apt. But he says, Yodua Hadava V'Nigla La'Kol. The matter is known and revealed to all. Ki Ho'amuna Hazu, this Amuna Yisod Hadas, is the Yisod, is the foundation. V'Ashela Yamin Bozeh, someone who doesn't believe this, Kofer Bo'ikar, he denies the fundamental. The Ein Lo Chelek Uzchus in Yisrael. And he doesn't have a share, a portion, or merit with Yisrael. It's important to realize that there are many different denominations today in Judaism, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform. And many of them, and even so-called rabbis, wouldn't agree with this. Not everybody has this emunah in God. And there are even rabbis that don't take the Torah as being from God. It's man-made. And even the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a rabbi in California a few years ago that he was a conservative or reform, I don't know what, created a storm by saying that it never really happened. So if that's the case, why are you having a Seder? And why are you recounting something which never happened? So they have all, you know, if that's the case, if you deny it, so then that, in my opinion, that should be the answer. Well, what's the point of being Jewish? But no, they continue to be Jewish, and they continue, at least in their own minds, and to be rabbis, and so on and so forth, for whatever, because it's inspirational, whatever the case. But it's important to realize, obviously you don't go around telling people that they're kofrim and all of that, you have to be careful with how you deal with people, but this is the foundation of foundations. And a person can be very good, can be very nice, can be very moral, and can even fast on Yom Kippur for various reasons, but if he doesn't accept this principle, then he's a kofir. He has no chelik with Klal Yisrael. Because the essence of Klal Yisrael is not to be a good person or a moral person, and so on and so forth. All those things are good. The Inyan Ha'amana. Now he says, what exactly is this Ha'amana, this belief? What does that mean? Husha yikva b'nafsho, he should establish in his soul, sha'emes king, that this is the truth. V'she'i efshir chilav zeh b'shum panim. And anything different than this is impossible. V'yim yishal alav, and if he'll be asked about this, yashiv l'chol shohel. He'll respond to everyone who asks. Shezeh yamin libo velo yode bechilav zeh. Because this is what he believes in his heart, and he will never acknowledge the opposite. Afilu yomru lahargo. Even if they desire to kill him. Shekol zeh machzik v'kaveya ha'monas ha'lev Kishemotzi adava min hakoach el hapoel. For all this strengthens and establishes the belief of the heart when the matter is brought forth from potential to actual. Ritzoni lomar, that is to say, kisheyikayin v'divrei piv mashalibo gomer, that is, when he fulfills with words that which he determined in his heart. And if he should merit to go up on the levels of Chachma, ulavavo yavin, and his heart will understand, uvieno of yira, v'mofes neftach, and he'll be able to see, his eyes will see with clear-cut proofs, shehamana hazos, Shehemin Emes Ubarer, that this Emuna, which he believes is true and clear, Efsher Leos Dava Biltizeh, it's impossible that it should be any other way. As Yikayim Mitzvah Seizeh, Mitzvah Menamovcha. Then he will fulfill this Mitzvah in the choicest way. And so the question is, what does he mean over here by belief? Because first he says you have to establish this and believe it absolutely, and verbalize it if you have to, and even give up your life for it. So it shouldn't just be something which is in the abstract. There's different types of things a person believes in. That is, a person may believe something, but he's not prepared to give up his life for it. Just so happens that it makes sense to him, or something like that. But it's not that significant, and it doesn't mean that much to him, and he's not prepared to put his life on the line. But he's saying at first that this must be something which is an absolute, where there's no question, where you regard the other as an impossibility, and you have to answer people, and you can't affirm any other possibility, and if necessary, you would have to give up your life. Then he says, and if you're zochen, you go up in the levels of wisdom, and you understand it intellectually. Well, it would seem that that's only an embellishment. But if that's the case, on what basis does he have this belief in the first place? And also, how's it possible? If you're saying that the intellectual part comes afterwards, but you're demanding that prior to the intellectual part, the person has to have an absolute emunah, then the question would be, how is that possible to achieve? On what basis? I think the answer is, now we can understand why he says that a person has to believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and why he has to believe in the Torah. In the Torah. Because, if he doesn't believe in the Torah, so how is he going to believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim? The only way we know about that is through the Torah. So that if a person believes in the Torah, then the Torah includes the story of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim affirms all these principles. If that's the case, then he has the basis for the Emunah. Because you can derive it, as the Ramban does, in his commentary in Shmos, which we've gone through, that everything that took place in Mitzrayim demonstrates the fundamentals of our belief in God. Okay, which is to say that there are two different sources of knowledge, two different kinds of knowledge, which we're from secondhand knowledge. But it's more than just secondhand knowledge over here. I'm not talking about secondhand knowledge. I'm talking about from certain displays. There are two ways in which we can arrive at the conviction. Let's put aside that issue of secondhand knowledge. Secondhand knowledge is an extremely important concept in our verification that the Torah is from Hashem, the Torah is true. I'm not talking about that now. So we believe that the Torah is true. So we have the story then. The idea of God, our idea of God, is something which can be inferred from phenomena. That is the issue, if there's a debate between Einstein and Aristotle, Spinoza, those who believe in a God, but certainly did not have this issue the way we do, the relationship between God and the universe. Because all of these philosophers maintained that the universe is unalterable. And they did not believe in miracles, they didn't believe in divine providence, as we do, and so on and so forth. And we maintain, to the contrary, that the universe has a beginning. The universe did not have to exist. And the universe was brought into existence by another being who is the true existence. And he fashioned it, and so on and so forth. That's the argument. So there are two ways in which this can be resolved. One is through phenomena, experiential. That is, what's the practical nafkamina, so to speak, between the two? Well, the splitting of the Red Sea under certain circumstances. The splitting of the Red Sea, per se, doesn't necessarily prove miracles unless it's accompanied by a prophet who declares in advance, and there's a situation, there's a circumstance, which it is impossible to attribute to chance. Otherwise, people could say that it's just a chance. So there's something about nature that we didn't know. We just learned something. It's part of nature. But once it's done in that way, it eliminates the possibility of attributing it to nature. So that decides the argument. Then it's clear that there must be a being who's cognizant of the fact that the Jews are being pursued by the Egyptians. And this being does not want the Jews to be destroyed. And thus, in order to effectuate a salvation, sees to it that something which is absolutely contrary to nature occurs. The only way that they could be saved is by a deed which would be totally contrary to nature. The splitting of the sea, enabling them to proceed. And then, at the very moment when their pursuers come after them, the waters come back upon them and drown them. So anyone that witnesses that, if the person is rational, will come to this conclusion. That's the experimental manner. Through this experiment, it is clearly established which of the two positions is correct. Now, I think that that's the basis, that we have to be koveya beliba. We won't even koveya beliba. If you just meant it, you just believe it. So you have to study the phenomena which lead you to that conclusion. And that becomes your base. There's an absolute conviction that this is the truth. So that's really sufficient. That's the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. One wonders why he urges us to go further. One can go further, however. And that is, the more you study, the more you learn, this would be logics, science, the more you study the phenomena, because there's another way of seeing this, and that's from the study of reality. The more you can bring forth proofs, logical proofs, not necessarily from the miracles. Well, it could be also, he doesn't rule that out. I mean, the more you study history and so on and so forth, the more you will be able to perceive the ways of God in history. But aside from that, the more you study the universe, the more you study the makeup of man, the more you see that it cannot have been something which came about by chance, and that there must be a creator. So this is mitzvah menamufcha. That's what's beautiful about this. Because, why? What's the difference? You already have absolutely convinced. But it's not just that you have this conviction. This conviction permeates every mitzvah. That is the mitzvah to love God, to serve God. This is the base of everything. And the more this belief is reinforced, wherever you turn, it changes the character of the emuna. It's a different kind of an emuna. So therefore, the mitzvah demands a basic emunah. Without that, you're not part of Israel. It's a very, very important point. We have to keep, you know, returning to this from time to time to review it, because this is not the way the Jewish world perceives it today. Mm-hmm. We've been affected by the culture and the attitudes that put the emphasis. They don't put the emphasis on God. They put the emphasis on morality and ethics and good behavior and compassion and so on and so forth. All of these things are very important. But according to this, would seem, if it is based on a denial of the Yesod that we're talking about, pretty much doesn't have much value, would seem. That's what he's saying. He's a kofar. Now, a kofar doesn't have to be a vicious person. Could be a nice person, and so on and so forth. We're not going into all the practical consequences. But this is the foundation of foundations, and that's what he's saying. The person has to be koveya belibo, and reach the point where he's absolutely convinced that this is true. And it should be based upon the miracles. The Torah did not expect, this is very, very difficult for each individual to be able to achieve that level of understanding of all the abstract science and so forth. The Torah didn't expect that, didn't demand that. So therefore, that God gave us a different way of knowing this. And that is from the, what we're calling the experiential, the experimental, the phenomena of the miracles that occurred establish these principles, and we have to study them carefully and arrive at that absolute conviction, and even be prepared to die for it. That's how strong the conviction must be, and that's how serious it is. It's something you have to die for. But then he says that the individual who has the ability to strengthen that conviction or to affirm it through different areas, for example, through a study of nature and his understanding and his wisdom, so that's a very significant phenomenon, very, very significant. Because he experiences it in a completely different way. He sees it more directly with his own eyes. And he sees all the manifestations of it. And it lends itself to a different relationship to God, to a certain Ahavas Hashem. And that's why it's a huge, huge mitzvah. It's not just mitzvah min hamufkar. There's many expressions of mitzvah min hamufkar, where you know you did the mitzvah this way, so you did it a little bit better. This is a different kind of mitzvah min hamufkar, because it's a different kind of a mitzvah. The choiceness of it, because this is, obviously, since this is the foundation of foundations, one's relationship to the Creator, one's conviction, one's awareness of the existence of the Creator. And this is enhanced, he sees it directly with his own eyes, with his own wisdom, with his own understanding. So it changes the character of the entire belief, of the entire emunah. But again, you see, you have to realize that the Torah didn't require this of everybody, because it's a very difficult thing. And it was obviously, it was absolutely necessary to have something which is available to everybody at the outset. At the outset. And once he has this conviction, then he has the possibility, when he does study science, he's studying it from the proper perspective. And therefore, when he sees certain things, he knows how to interpret them. And it enhances. Amunah is something which is this subject to enhancement. It's an extremely significant mitzvah to be able to put together proofs that confirm the foundations of our emunah.